We are so excited that this latest message from Truth Movement Church can meet you where you are today. This message from TMC will help you to apply the truth of God's word to your everyday life. It's practical and powerful. Enjoy His word.
John chapter 6, verse 5, NIV version. Are you there? Let's read together. I'm tapping on my, you know, like in church, you only get a certain allotment of verses you can read in church. So I'm like tapping right on that ceiling right now. Verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." I thought that was interesting that that was his response. Because I think all of us have a go-to filter, right? When we look at life, we filter things a certain way. And Jesus was testing Philip to see what his filter was going to be. Are you going to filter this through faith? Or are you going to filter this through your own means? And whenever, I want you to understand, too, is that whenever you begin to look at life through your means and the way that you can do things, you will always be deficient. You will always need more. It will never be enough. And I think Jesus was trying to help us through, understand through this text that we have to start to make our go-to filter faith. You know how like you have a photo, and I don't do social media, but I know that there's multiple filters out there that we can put on a picture. All of us have a go-to filter. I don't, you know, is it the black and white one for you? Is it the one that turns a little bit brown and makes things look brass? I don't know, but everybody has a goal. What is your go-to filter when it comes to life? When you're dealing with situations in life, what is your go-to filter? Verse 8, another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" I promise you, every time I read this, I crack up because they never talk about the boy. This boy is giving up his lunch, y'all. He just was muscled by the disciples for his lunch. Verse 10, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. You ever really pay attention to scripture? It says that Jesus gave to them as much as they wanted. I think some of us oftentimes walk away from God's word and walk away from what God is doing feeling not full. But he's prepared enough for you to eat as much as you want. You've got to stop getting up from the table. Verse 12, when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Skip to verse 22 real quick. I know I'm at my limit. Verse 22 says this, the next day the crowd that had stayed on the opposite side of the shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Verse 23, then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Somebody shout amen. Amen. We just got through Thanksgiving. Some of us had to roll in here this morning after a good meal. Who ate like a little bit too much this time? I did good this time around. I didn't eat too much this time. As a matter of fact, a couple days after that, I had another Thanksgiving dinner. I went over a friend of mine's house who had some extra food, and she gave us some food. That was a blessing that she gave us a meal. But I ate Thanksgiving twice over the holidays. And It seems like the holiday goes by a bit too fast in my mind, because right now we're preparing for Christmas. We're running directly into Christmas. And I feel like, and this is just me, maybe you agree with me, but I feel like society, we tend to try and create this environment, this season, this feeling of gratitude and thankfulness. Like, we put up the right pictures, we put up, you know, all of the correct ornaments, we make sure we're playing the Christmas music. Who's rocking Christmas music right now? I've got my playlist sparked up, ready to go. I have to tend to get myself in a mood to be thankful. It's almost like it's conjured up, right? You gotta press all the right buttons in order for us to be thankful. And what I came to realize, and what I even thought about myself, is that being thankful, or even saying thankful, is not a natural thing. Do you ever really think about that? As much as you should say thank you, as much as you should feel gratitude, as much as you should be thankful, you're not. At least I know I'm not. As a matter of fact, let's go back. I'm going to take you back. And for me, it's a few years, not that long ago, when you were a child. Not that long ago. And as soon as you were able to articulate a word, after you got Dada and Mama out and you were able to ask for things, the first thing your parents would teach you is, when I give you something, what do you say? Well, you got to teach them to say thank you. What do you say? You say thank you. And I think that we teach ourselves that word on the wrong premise. Because we think saying thank you and having a heart of gratitude is a response to getting what I want. I respond to you with thank you. I respond with a thankful attitude. I respond with gratefulness. But when you think about the text and what Jesus was teaching to these people is that thankfulness and gratefulness and gratitude is a posture that every Christian must have. It's a posture that every Christian must have. I don't want to dive into the text too much. I've only got 4 points today. But if you think about it, Jesus, he gave thanks before the blessing even occurred. He gave thanks before the blessing even occurred. And as a matter of fact, he gave thanks for something that was not enough. So listen, it teaches me in this text that, listen, it's not a response. It's an attitude. It is a position that every Christian, every believer, because he was teaching a multitude of people. It gave us credit for 5,000, but we know that there was at least 10 to 15,000 there, but if you count the women and children, he says, listen, when I've got this captive audience, I've got to teach them. I'm just not going to bless them. I'm going to teach them. And in the posture of a Christian, the posture of a disciple, the posture of the believer has to be a heart of gratitude, a heart of thankfulness. There was a few things in the text that I believe that we must consider that Jesus taught us. Verse 10, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and that they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish." My first thought that I want you to write down, or the first thing I want you to consider, is how I attach. How I attach. Jesus had been performing miracles up until this point like crazy. He's been knocking them out. He was just knocking them loose. And he had taught the people, and he was getting ready to make sure Not make sure. He was getting ready to perform this monumental miracle in front of these people. So he essentially takes this little boy bread, which is basically a number one from Chick-fil-A. You know, it was just enough for one person. He takes this meal from this boy. And before he does anything, in front of all of these people, who I know probably couldn't hear everything that he said, because the posture of a person praying in that day, they stood and they would look to heaven. And I know that Jesus stood and he looked to heaven and he said, Father, I thank you. After he had received the loaves and the fish from the boy, he had taken the bread, the meal from the boy, and he stands there and he says, Father, I thank you for this. And then he begins to break it. And he passes it to the disciples, and the disciples were handing it out. And all these people see is this miracle taking place in front of their eyes. And they see Jesus' hand making this stuff take place. And he broke and he kept giving. He broke and kept giving. And I could imagine that Jesus was making sure that how these people connect themselves or attach themselves to this blessing is very important. So the reason why he says thank you is because he wanted to make sure that the connection between heaven and earth was there, not between earth and man. He wanted to make sure that they attached themselves to the blessing the right way, because here's the thing. All they saw was Jesus passing this bread out. Oh, but he says, listen, Father, I thank you. He wanted to make sure that there was something that took place in heaven on your behalf that you must understand. So I want to make sure that I say thank you before anything takes place. So that everyone understands that this is not me, it is him. And that's a hard thing to understand. That's a hard thing to grasp, because all I see is Jesus breaking this bread and passing out these fish. And I know what he started with. He just had a number one, but all of us are eating and housing. He's the man. Jesus is the man. But Jesus puts things into perspective and he says, thank you, Father, for this. That's a hard thing to grasp. Because I know that the check says Orange County Public Schools. But the money's not coming from them. I know the check may say Pepsi. I know whatever it says, it may say the county. Whatever it says, it's hard to grasp it. It's hard to understand that it is not that. It is not them. It is him. And when you have a heart of gratitude, when you have a heart of thankfulness, I make sure I connect myself to the things that are blessings in my life. I didn't show up to get teaching today. It's okay. I got to make sure that I make the right attachments. I got to make sure I attach myself to the things that he has blessed me with correctly. And when I have a heart of gratitude, when I'm thankful, it attaches me correctly to the things that he's blessed me with. Let's get some more. Same verse, 11. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. The second thing we've got to consider is what I feel. Tell your neighbor what I feel. I think what Jesus teaches here is so vitally important. So vitally important. Because Jesus takes what is seemingly not enough and he thanks God for it. What people can see is not enough, they thank him for it. Before he even gets started, he thanks God for it, and he thanks him for something that does not meet the need. I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to be thankful for something that's not enough. Seriously, it doesn't matter how much money I make. If it's not enough, it's hard for me to be thankful for it. And what Jesus teaches through this miracle is that it's more important how I feel about the blessing than the blessing itself. God wants to make sure that I feel the right way about what he's placed in my life. Because understand this, there are people who have a whole lot less than you who are way happier than you. There are people who don't make half of what you make and enjoying life to the fullest because they're thankful for everything that they have. Oh, God. What Jesus teaches us is this. He says, listen, I feel that this is great, God. I think this is something that I could not have done on my own. Thank you for this. And a heart of gratitude puts us in a position where we can be thankful for everything that we have. And here's the thing. It allows us to maximize what we have. It allows us to maximize what we have. I think of Elijah. God sends him to this widow woman in the Old Testament. He sends him to this widow woman so that she could sustain him. So he shows up, and the woman, so he says, well, you know, you got some food? She's like, no, I don't have any food. All I have is a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. She's looking at this as her final meal. And Elijah is looking at this as the meal that's going to sustain them through this season. The fact that she couldn't see it as a blessing and she couldn't be thankful for it, she almost died because she thought, this is all I have. When Elijah showed up, he says, all you have is enough. All you have is, what am I trying to say? What God has blessed you with is enough if I'm thankful for it. That is why Jesus, before he even pops the top on the blessing, he says, thank you, Father. Thank you for this. You will supply all of my needs, and I thank you for this. He wanted to make sure that he was in the earshot of everybody standing around him so that they could understand that sometimes it may not look like enough. But if I'm going to maximize what I have, I got to be thankful for it. If I am going to work what I got, I have to be thankful for it. Elijah shows up to this woman's house. She had determined that she was getting ready to die. And the only difference was Elijah's perception was, this was all I need. Her perception was, this is all I got. Is it half empty, half full? I guess the question is, how do you see life? Is it half empty or is it half full? Let's push for more. Same verse. I'm going to keep reading it till you get it. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who received it as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. The next thing I want you to consider is what I give. What I give. I think very simply, within the first few words that we learn this, listen to what he says. It says, Jesus then took the loaves and did what? Gave thanks. Jesus teaches us in this text that thanks must be given away. Thanks must be given away. It's almost no need in feeling it if you're not going to give it away. There's no need to be thankful if you're not going to be a thanksgiver. It says that he gave his thanks away. I think at times we don't understand that we have to give what we feel. I always say to y'all, I'm preaching way better than y'all responding. Because if it's good to you, you need to say so. If I'm grateful for what I have, I need to say so. My wife cracks me up a lot. I don't be laughing at her, but I'll be laughing at her. She has this thing, and she's been doing it like forever, like since the day I met her. She will come, this is me, and she'll come this close to me, and she'll walk away. And then she'll come back, you didn't feel me in your proximity. Why didn't you reach out to me? Well, to be honest, my mind was someplace else, but your mind was on me. So if you felt it, you should have done something about it. But she puts it back off on me as if I did something wrong. No, if you feel you want to touch me, touch me. What is Jesus teaching us in the text? Is if you have a heart of thankfulness, if you have a heart of gratitude, give it. Give it. Listen, I've thought of so many, I'm telling you, and I beat myself up. I've been walking out of, and it's just been on me for the past 2 or 3 weeks. I've been walking out of situations where I felt like I should have told that person thank you. Just thank you for who you are. Thank you for just being the person that you've been being to me. I felt the pressure. And so when I get in my car, when I get away from it, I messed that up. I had an opportunity to really invest something, really do something special, and I didn't do it. And what Jesus teaches us is this. He said, there's no need in being thankful if you're not going to give it. You got to be a thanksgiver. Psalms 104. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Enter his courts, the gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. But what's the rest of the verse? Be thankful to God. Then bless his name. You need to have the feeling of being thankful. That's a feeling. That's an emotion. Being thankful is emotion. But now I need action. Bless his name. There's no need in being thankful if you're not going to give it away. And what I'm saying is this. We've got opportunities in our life that we need to start giving thankfulness away. I know I've been married to you for 19 years, but I thank you for being the wife that you've been to me. I know you didn't get the grades. But I thank you for being a special daughter or a son. Thank you. Has to be given away. How many times in your life have you felt thankfulness? You felt the emotion, but you never gave it away. Jesus teaches us that we've got to give it away. Tell your neighbor, give it away. Verse 12, my final point. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Jesus takes this number one from Chick-fil-A and he turns it into something special. The text says that the blessing was so abundant that there were leftovers. He gave thanks. He broke it, passed it out, and there were leftovers. He instructs his disciples to go and gather up the broken pieces. And For all of my life, every time that I've ever read this verse, I've always been under the impression, or when I envisioned it, I always envisioned a basket, a wicker basket. And once I started to really dive into these verses, you all know that Jesus had performed a very similar miracle later on where he fed 4,000. And he goes through the same process. He thanks the Heavenly Father for blessing them. He breaks it, and then he passes it out. And then he says to the disciples the same exact thing. I want you to go gather up all of the broken pieces. So I always was under the impression that Jesus, one, he's not wasteful. There's a blessing. When you're blessed, you still need to be frugal. That'll preach, right? So I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, he has blessed them. He doesn't want it to go to waste. And then he wants them to have something left over after the blessing. And that all made sense to me. And I'm like, all right, that makes sense. And they're getting ready to travel. So he tells them to go get 12 baskets full of what's left over. But then when I really started to look into the baskets that these guys used, it wasn't this kind of basket. When I envisioned him picking on you, he just fed 15,000 people. There has to be a lot of food left over. There's got to be a lot of broken pieces left over. So I'm thinking to myself, well, Jesus was saying, listen, clean this stuff up. Let's get it all packed up, and we don't want to waste anything. You let my mother find out you left some food sitting anywhere. You can't waste a sin to waste food. So that's the filter I was using, right? Like, Jesus doesn't want to waste food. But then when I really started to look into the text, I found that this basket is the basket that he used in the other blessing. When he fed 4,000, he told them to gather up all of the loose pieces, and they had 7 baskets. But the first time he performed this miracle, he didn't use this kind of basket. He used this kind of basket. And he tells them, I want you to go gather up all of the broken pieces. And I'm thinking, well, Jesus, what are they going to do with that? But what I found out is that it was part of your garb as a Jew to walk around with a wicker basket that you kept your food in. You kept provisions in it. And Jesus wanted to make sure that they had a personal tie to the community blessing. He didn't want to put it in a community basket, because it's easy to look at that and just say, you know what? Jesus did his thing. That was great. And we just pull out of the basket. But when I've got a basket that's personal, I tie myself back to that thanksgiving that he gave to know that it came through that avenue. Y'all looking at me like you don't get it. Jesus wanted to make sure that the men, these 12 men, had a personal tie to the blessing that just occurred. He wanted it to stick with them, to know that, listen, when I bless you, it's not just what I want to teach you something. I want you to be thankful for it. So when I reach into this little basket, Lord, I thank you for this. But when I got a whole bunch, it's hard for me to be thankful. So he said, I want to get you a small portion size to make sure that you understand that the blessing that I give, I want you to be thankful for every bit of it. He was teaching them something. How do I know it worked? I bet you wonder, Lonzo, how you come up with this? I know it works. Go to verse 22. Before we read, now listen. This is the key. In the Gospels, John was one of the writers. We got four Gospels. John writes one of them, right? We all agree. I want you to check my math. John writes one of them. John lived his entire life. He lived his life. And as an old man, he sat down and wrote the gospel. So his account of what he gave, or the account of what took place, he didn't write it until years later. And he sat down and wrote this. They called him Grandpa John when he sat down and wrote this stuff. So he had experienced life. He saw all these things take place. And then he sits down and writes his gospel. Now, here's the thing. Whenever you give highlights from a game, you're going to give the highlights. LeBron James scores 52 points. You're not going to talk about the ball he bounced. We're going to talk about how LeBron James scored 52 points. Yeah. Years later, watch this. Go to verse 22. Years later, John writes this down. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Verse 23. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten bread after the Lord had given thanks. After the Lord had given thanks. John equates, listen to me. John says, listen, it was a miracle and it took place and it was great. But you see the two things he talked about? He fed the people. But it was after he gave thanks. The thanks was monumental to John. He equates the miracle and the thanks in the same vein. He says these people were blessed by way of God saying thank you. I mean, Jesus saying thank you. What am I getting at? Is that we must walk around with a personal thanksgiving for what God has given us. That is what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. I want you to make this communal blessing personal. No, you're not getting it. The air that you suck up, I want you to get a little bit in your basket. And I want you to know that it is personally for you. The fact that you have life in your body, I want you to have a little bit in your basket. And I want you to be thankful and grateful for that. So years later, when you become an old person and you get up in age, I want you to say, you know what? I was blessed because I was thankful. Put a little in your basket. I want you to walk around with it every day. I want you to walk around with gratitude in your heart every day. I want you to be thankful for what you have every day. Not about how I bless you, not about what I give you, but you should have a posture of thankfulness in your heart all the time, no matter what's going on. Go out there and get me 12 baskets, and I want each one of you to have one. So after you get done with my blessing, after you get tired of my blessing, after the novelty of my blessing has worn off, what do you gather up? After you've gotten your fill and gotten what you want from me, what do you gather? Jesus said, I want you to grab a little basket so that you can remember how I blessed you. Stand to your feet. I want to make sure that we approach these holidays like we've never done before. Not in necessarily what we give, but how we feel. How we feel. It was mentioned earlier that it all may not be good, but I know that it's for my good, and I think that's easy to say. But it takes a heart of gratitude and thankfulness in order to be able to make that real in your life. So before we allow another holiday to come and go and allow the society to push us into being grateful, I think we all need to take out our baskets and get a basket full of thankfulness. Because of how much he has done for you. I know what he's done for me, but what has he done for you? I think about the text and how before Jesus even began to break the bread, he was grateful for it. The disciples come to him and say, Jesus, this is all we have. This is all we got. And Jesus says within himself, that's exactly what I needed. Are you willing to bring Jesus all that you have? So that you can put it in his hands, so he can bless it, break it, and make it more effective. I tend to have more peace when it's in his hands. I tend to experience a little bit more joy when it's in his hands. But in order for me to maintain that and to hold on to that, I have to start from the position of gratefulness. I was looking at some articles the other day, and did you know that, and you can look it up in your dictionary, did you know that Thanksgiving, is associated with God? Did you know that? But how often do we ever even talk about God on Thanksgiving? Go back and look at it. Don't allow society to push you into being thankful. It has to be your position. It has to be your heart. Because life produces so much more. It gives me so much more back when I'm thankful for it. And I thank God for giving us this opportunity to just say thank you. Let's pray. Father, we bless your name.
Thank you for streaming the latest message from Truth Movement Church. We pray that you found something in God's word that you can deposit into your heart for future use. To stay connected with our ministry, like us on Facebook or Instagram, or learn more about us by visiting www.truthmovementchurch.org.